he said unto the woman, and he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know, that ain't changed since Genesis. And one of the hardest things the women I know has is their desire being to their husband, or their husband tell them anything. But it's something that sin brought on. So what God has said to us here, that it'll be sorrow in childbearing. In the 17th verse, and he said unto Abraham, and unto Abraham he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of the wife, because he listened to the wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In sorrow. So because of sin, amen, and what America wants today, the charismatic doctrine of today is we float through, any sickness will be done away with. Don't speak it, and it won't be. There's a great revival coming, glory to God. I'm going to tell you something. I've had revival ever since 1968 when God saved my soul. Honey, I need to be willing to bear my cross daily. Pick up my cross daily and follow the Lord. When hardships come, when they come against us, and I thought about David many times. David begged out to God, and he said, God, would you just help me keep my enemies off of my back and help me to go on and finish this race? He said, I'm just a man. I'm in the flesh, and I've got problems that I can't handle. Let's go to the fourth chapter of Genesis. And I thought, you all that have got kids that's gone astray, hello? A sorrow, ain't it? I'm going to tell you, old Brother Bill's got a big family. And I've got them that one time sit on the front rows and praise God. I've got them one time that were deacons in the house of God. And today they go to church once in a while, maybe if they get a change. Down deep they think they're happy because the flesh is being satisfied, but spiritually they're drier than a chip. Amen, it needs preaching. The drunk thinks he's happy sitting on the bar stool. Amen, but he's been deceived by Satan and alcohol. The old whoremonger thinks he's happy when he gets to be with another woman and lays with another woman and his flesh is satisfied. And he tries to smile outside. But I remember a deacon and he said, my Lord and my God, what have I done? Where am I at? What have I done? Why have I walked away? Fourth chapter, we'll just start at the first verse. We got all day as far as I know. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Get that. Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But he brought the firstlings, the very best that he had of the flock, and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. What God laid on my heart today is a vagabond. And a vagabond, and I jotted down part of the definition. And a vagabond is one who wanders. He's a nomad. No definite residence. No place of abode. No visible means of support. Can I tell you today, especially in our big cities, we got them sleeping in pasteboard boxes. No address. Every now and then, we see an arrest report, somebody in Surrey County, no known address. Vagabonds wandering to and fro. Don't know which dumpster they'll eat out of next time. Don't know where they'll lay their head next time. Don't know who their next friend, their next meal will be. And maybe they're vagabonds, nomads wandering in our land. And as I growed up, you hardly ever saw any such thing as this. Because everybody loved one another, and if a family got down, a house burned out, they run and jumped and helped them build it back. Brother mentioned some stuff there this morning. It's come a time, if you try to help people, they might take a vacation. Amen. If you give them some money to buy groceries, they'll take a vacation. Yeah. You take money, glory to God, to help kids, to try to feed the kids. Yeah. Amen. First thing you know, daddy's locked up because he's gone drugs. Yeah. It's sad. Our mamas went holding after some other gods. It's come a time, honey, till we've all got careful. What has brought all this on? Sin. What's brought about being a vagabond? And he said, "What is that? Why has our countenance failed?" I've seen over the years, the 50, almost 4 years that I've been in church, I've seen the countenance of people fall. I've seen people at one time was pleased with the Word of God that can't look you in the eye today. I've seen people, what is sin? Sin is rebellion against the Word of God. Coming against the Word of God. Somebody the Word of God is for you here today. Not only you, but all the way to California. Maybe in China. But if you hinder the Word of God, you're a hindrance to Almighty God. That makes us a vagabond. Can I tell you something? Cain was a heartbreaker. Cain was a heartbreaker to Adam and Eve. They had already messed up and in sin, and because of their sin, this sin followed them. Can I tell you, because of my sin is following me today. Amen, I've got to overcome it. But I'll be in sorrow, I'll have troubles, sickness will come on me. Can I tell you, in the garden they didn't need clothes, they didn't need anything, everything was all right. Yeah. Everything was theirs except one tree. And the forbidden fruit is what we want today. The forbidden fruit is what the flesh looks at today. Glory to God. And he said, Cain's countenance failed. And the sixth verse, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth and why is thy countenance fallen? Can I tell you something today when we see people mad in church? Hello? And ain't satisfied with nothing? I'm going to tell you something. God has not accepted their offering. Amen. God is not, I believe to start with, maybe that it was. He was a tiller of the ground. Maybe he brought a potato or a cabbage head, I don't know, or a green bean. But God said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And Abel, even being the second born, Abel bought his firstling, the fat of the land. Amen. He bought the best, amen, and offered the sacrifice. The Bible tells us, amen, in Romans, to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And why is our countenance fallen? Because we're afraid of cancer. Yeah. Because we're afraid of death. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid we're not going to have the preeminence and be over everything going. We're afraid somebody's going to belittle us. Amen, so we just let it go. I'm glad today I'm a child of God and you can't knock me no farther than God wants me to be knocked. Amen. They can't shut me off, glory to God, as long as God said I can go. As long as God gives a message, whether anybody accepts it or whether they don't, amen, God has wrote down a message in our heart and give us strength to preach. I'm glad today, glory to God, I'm not paid by a price of man. I'm not bought by man. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not out to please you today. I'm out to fulfill. Glory to God. We preached on it to finish the work, to finish the counsel of God, finish the work of Almighty God. As Jesus said, as Paul said, amen, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Amen. I need to finish my course. I've started on a good course. I don't need to back up from it. A lot of people have started on a good course and they've quit along the way. There's a pew without anybody in it. I'm going to tell you, the devil has scared somebody to death that they might have to testify or give a dollar to the house of God. I thought about some of the old Baptists, glory to God. They're so tight, their britches would buckle on them if they was to pull out a dollar and give it. They're scared to death of tithes. They're scared to death to give their self to God. We're scared to death to come and sit on the front row. If God needs to use me, God, let God use me in the way that's pleasing unto thee. Sister, I thought today, this week, that I was trying to pray, glory to God, we run to the doctor for conviction. There's not a pill, there's not a doctor can fix the conviction of God. How do you know this, Bill? I'm going to tell you something. I ended up in the hospital when I got saved. Got off of alcohol. Hey, it was in my system. Amen. Glory to God. Do you know what? They said you got to go on nerve pills. Hey, Mickey, I ain't on nerve pills now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes the doctor will put you on something to numb you, honey, and you can't feel the Holy Ghost power of God. If I have a heart attack in the pulpit, hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. I'm glad for what God has done for us. But his countenance fell, amen, and he got in trouble. And he said in the seventh verse, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? That's the Lord speaking to Cain. Amen. He didn't just junk him off and throw him off to the side. But he said, if you do well, glory to God. There he was. Cain was already mad. He hadn't given the best sacrifice. How many of us today, honey, if we ain't recognized in church, we go somewhere else? The lady's dead now, but she said, I come back and visited Mount Vernon Church, and I begged her to come. Amen. And I knew some of her back life. I knew abortion in her life, and I knew some things in her life that wasn't right. Amen. And she come back, and she said, we didn't give her a right hand of fellowship. We're looking for an excuse why we don't come to church. We're looking for an excuse to justify the flesh. We're not looking for a reason to serve God and to praise God and get what the Word of God is saying. Everybody won't get this today, but somebody's going to get this today, what a vagabond is. And a vagabond, honey, is a worthless nobody. And the churches are sitting full of vagabonds that's wandered from place to place and have never settled down anywhere. Glory to God. I remember a preacher one time, and he said, I'm a Roman. I just roam from here to yonder. I'm going to tell you, we need to take root in the Word of God, get established in the Word of God, and realize what God has wanted us to do, and realize that God is King of kings and Lord of lords. I realize today, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Glory to God. I can't change that, amen, and I can't make Bill nothing different than he is. I need to be what God wants me to be and walk where God wants me to be. And he said in the seventh verse, if thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, said sin lieth at the door. I'm going to tell you why we're not happy church people today. Sin lieth at the door. Our countenance has fallen. We've not given the best sacrifice to God. We've let vacations, we've let our feelings sit on our shoulder. We've let hard times beat us down. We've let death, and we've let sickness. We've let ball games, and we've let this, and we've let that. Riding off to the mountain. We let our jobs take us away from God. And then we get all kind of money, and we let that take us away from God. Honey, because we've not offered the best to God. I'm going to tell you, it don't matter if you ain't got a nickel in your pocket, or you a millionaire. God wants the same thing out of you. He wants you. He wants the first fruit of that He saved, whatever you year you got saved. God wants you to bring it back and give it to Him every time you sacrifice. Well, glory be unto God. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Honey, that you and I could be saved today. And He wants us to appreciate it. He wants us to shout about it. He wants us to talk about it. And when the devil throws a stumbling block, He wants us to pray and walk over the stumbling block. God wants us with a happy countenance, a smile on our face, some joy in our heart, some faith, glory to God, that we can overcome the problem. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. He said, if thou doest well, and if not, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee, listen to this. And He said, unto thee shall be His desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God plainly said, under the Bible days, and this is before Moses' law and all of this, the Ten Commandments is before all of this. But it was that the oldest son had preeminence. And the Bible said, He plainly said there, He said, He will follow you. Abel's desire will be to follow you. But if you don't do well, sin lieth at the door. Can I ask you today? Don't raise your hand, but does sin lie at the door? Are we puffed? Is our countenance fallen? Are we so disgusted? Are we having a nervous breakdown? I thought about our water can go off and we go just crazy as a bat. Hello? The sewer back up in our commode and we just tore out of the frame. The same old sewer back up in our heart and our soul, in our tabernacle, and we don't pay no attention to it. Does sin lie at the door?
Bless the Lord.
I'm going to tell you, that's why we ain't smiling. That's why we ain't happy. That's why we ain't testifying.
Right, amen.
I sat down at the house and I said, why is continuously my son in trouble? Why is he pulling time every minute? Why are you worrying? Has he got a dollar for a snack? Or you don't get a phone call and you're just about crazy? I'm going to tell you why. Sin. Sin. Can I tell you something? I need to wake up and say, that's sin. I can't change it. He went where he wanted to. His countenance is fallen. He can not smile if he wants to, but I'm going to smile.
Bless him, Lord.
They can say amen if they don't want to, and they can say amen if they want to. I'm going to say amen.
Amen.
The truth's the truth.
Amen.
God saved my soul, and there's troubles at my house.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad I can recognize them. Satan comes and lays down at the door sometimes.
Right.
Hello?
Yep.
Amen.
I told the chaplain there Friday, we went over there and met with the chaplain at River North. I said, I've never been an ill-natured fella. And right lately, I've wanted to get mad. I used to fight and never, I mean fist fight. And never get mad. Why is our countenance fallen? Why are we not shouting no more? God's still God. I'm going to tell you what happened. We've not offered our body a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. And He's not spoke to us. Seeing life at the door. Well, Bill, this is old Genesis. He said in the 8th verse, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. They were blood brothers. How many Christian brothers has raised up in the field and killed us? How many have we raised up against in the field and killed their testimony? Come on, church. God gave Cain another chance. The Bible said the Lord spoke to Cain, and He said, Abel's desire will be to serve you. But if you stay in sin and your countenance stays where it's at, it ain't going to work. God gave him a chance, just like he does us, to come back and offer a more perfect sacrifice. What does it say in Hebrews 11? Y'all have to look it up. But by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it's got some more, but y'all look at it. The 11th chapter of Hebrews. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. He lied. He already hadn't offered the right sacrifice. His countenance had already fallen. Do you know a Christian that their countenance has fallen? I'm going to tell you something, and I hope she don't ever leave me. But if Janet leaves me, I can't quit serving God. And I can't turn around and sit at the house and tell you all that I'm still serving God if I'm able to go. So our countenance has fallen. Jennifer, it's so easy for your countenance to fall. Henry, with the pain in your shoulder, pain will cause your countenance to fall.
Yeah.
And it's so hard with your only boy gone. But you think about Eve. Abel was gone. On top of that, you think about Eve. Her other son caused it. I wonder how many times Eve repented. God, I wished I'd have never looked at that apple. I wished I'd have listened to you instead of the devil. Come on, church. How many times and where would we be if we'd have listened to God and not the devil? I'm talking to me this morning. How much more spiritual? I got down last night and this morning down at the altar. I've got to do better. But there's a cloud of pressure pushing against me all the time to push me down, but I've got to pull out from under. I've got to be more spiritual. I need the Holy Ghost power of God about me. When I walk by you, glory to God, you'll be moved by the Spirit of God. Amen. When the sinner sees you coming to their old backslider, they'll want to run from you because the power of God is there. Just like the old Jews, amen, when they seen Peter or Jesus or Paul, they wanted to get rid of them. They wanted to set up something to get them out of the sight.
Yep.
They wanted to kill them, crucify them, find something wrong with them.
Right.
Honey, we need to let our light shine that we can continue in this thing.
Tell it,
oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Pray for me. I'm just running on maybe 100 volt. I need about 220. I need to lighten up with the Holy Ghost power of God.
Amen.
I need Jesus. Amen. My brother might need a healing. I need the power of God about me that God can use me as a middleman. We need some middle people today that'll stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Fill in the spot where it's broken. We need some people to fill in these places. We need some people to get excited, glory to God. I don't need none of you to tell me my mistakes. I got a wagon up where I carry mine in. I know them. I'm loaded with them. I got problems with them. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. He lied. He said, am I thy my brother's keeper? We become smart alecks in the house of God. Amen. Am I my brother's keeper? How am I supposed to know where he's at? How am I supposed to know what he's doing? I get some of that all the time. I don't know how they're doing. I've asked about some of my neighbors. lately, and I'm worried about them. Some that testified, I won them to the Lord. I helped them find the Lord. They ain't been in church in weeks. I check up on them if I get a change. Ain't been to church in weeks. Been seen drinking beer. Boy, it's a child of God, ain't it? Hello? They ain't no wonder the world don't want what we got. The number is so few that's truly serving God. Amen. It's the world don't want no part of it. If I stir your boat, I don't really care. We're more excited about the Super Bowl. And to yet, I don't even know who played. There ain't nothing wrong with Super Bowls.
Bless the Lord.
But we'll shout the house down over the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Our little six-year-old boy that can't hardly walk on one leg. Greatest ball player going. And we've got an almighty God that we can't lift up. Hello?
Bless.
I stood on the concrete bench at Charlotte. Hour after hour after hour, drank a case of beer and holler, don't even know who the race driver is or what's going on. And then I come to the house of God and sit like a dying calf in a hailstorm.
Yeah.
Our countenance has fallen. We forgot who our heartbeat is.
Right.
Tammy's pacemaker wasn't near as bad as she thought. Satan had told her this is going to be pain. It's going to be awful. You may die, and she could have. You may not live through that. But she looks around, and God has touched.
Yeah. Bless them all.
The doctor told me, he said, you definitely will be on medication the rest of your life. Your heart, your bottom of your heart will not stand it. Or pacemaker. I said, I don't like medicine. Let's go pacemaker while I'm here. We got to make some choices in life. I don't like a pacemaker, but she promised me a refund. It's warranted. Amen. It's warranted 15 years. The devil will promise you something and never come through with it. He promised Eve that she'd know good and evil. She'd become his gods. Amen. It didn't work. And he said, what hast thou done? And the voice of thy brother crieth unto me from the ground. He was dead, but he was crying from the ground. Why? Because the Bible said he offered, in Hebrews, he offered a more righteous, a more godly sacrifice because he was a righteous man. So his voice cried out from the ground. Brother mentioned it this morning. I hope I leave a mark. I hope somebody can go by my tombstone and say, that old boy tried. He wasn't much. He wasn't sharp. He didn't know computer. He didn't know much about phones. But he tried. He tried to serve God.
Amen.
He didn't quit along the way. And now are there cursed from the earth which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. And when thou tillest the ground, the 12th verse, when thou tillest the ground, he shall not henceforth yield unto her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. A fugitive and a vagabond. Y'all know what a fugitive is. One that's been tried, one that's been found guilty, and he's on the run. And everybody's after him, and there's a bounty hunter after him. And somebody's been on his bond, and he's out there a fugitive. Amen. He can't show his face. He can't go in a cafe. He can't be in these places. He's a vagabond. He ends up a wanderer. Are you talking about? What? I wonder today, how many are sleeping under bridges? Have you ever been under the bridge and prayed for one?
Bless the Lord.
I have.
Bless the Lord.
I'm talking about somebody that was intelligent. Somebody had sat in church and heard the word of God. Can I tell you they didn't give God what was his? And where are they at today? They're vagabonds. I'd like to tell you something. There ain't nothing could have helped Cain but to come back to God. But instead of that, his countenance had fallen. Instead of that, he was fighting against God. He lied to God. He said, I don't know where my brother is. Am I my brother's keeper? I'm going to tell you whether you like it or whether you don't. If you're a child of God and you joined up with Mount Vernon Church, you're your brother's keeper. You ain't supposed to be out here to hurt him, to tear him down, to break him down. Amen. If his sacrifice begins to fall away, you need to be there to help him out. He said, a fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Let's read that you read this morning out of Proverbs 21 and 16. You went through that hurriedly, but just read that. Just hurriedly read that. Amen.
21:16.
Yeah, let me come back there.
21:16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead.
Man, that hit me when he read that. A man that wandereth away from the understanding of God. You know where he's at? He's in the congregation of the dead. Where's he at? He's in the world. When he walks away from the understanding of God. That's the word of God, brother. I thought, great day, that's right down there where I'm preaching. They wandering, vagabonds. Cain was a vagabond, a fugitive. Who put that on him? He brought it on himself. Brought it on himself. He could have still had recognition from his brother as the older brother. But he brought it on himself. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. How many of you heard say that? I just can't handle this no more. It's greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day, the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. I'm going to tell you, Cain realized that he was a fugitive. He realized he had lost his birthright. He realized that he wasn't sitting under his daddy anymore. Realized he was out from under mama's hand. Realized he was on his own. Can I tell you something today? There's a bunch out there on their own. And he said, it's more than I can bear. You know why they're on nerve pills? You know why they go back to alcohol? You know why they go back to drugs? Amen. Because they don't offer their best to God. They fool around on the outskirts of town. And they end up back out there, glory to God, and they become a vagabond. Amen. And it's more than they can handle. So we'll numb our mind. Listen to me. We'll numb our mind. And our land is full of people on pills. Full of people on meth. In my family, full of them. That's all they've known most of their life. Because they wouldn't give their life to God. You can have that or let it go by any way you want to. And it's more than they can bear. And you know what? Glory to God, they can't face everyday life and they run right back and do the same thing over and over and over again. Amen. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. In the 16th verse, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Listen to this, church. He went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And I can't find Nod in my Bible maps. Somebody might can. But it said it was the east of Eden. And I wonder if he was close enough to look back to the Garden of Eden. Said, Mom and Daddy messed up. And then here I come along. And I could have offered a sacrifice acceptable unto God. But I didn't. And here I said, I have killed my brother. And I'm a vagabond. I remember many, many years ago, a good friend, I rode to work with him. We were buddies. I loved him to death. And they called it the Cain and Abel murder right here in Logap. Right up the road. Up Carson Creek. Cain and Abel murder. Their murder come by the same reason. Sin. Sin. Thousands of years later, it come by sin. But he ended up in the land of Nod. Church, I've got just a few more minutes. I'd like to preach to you. Turn over to Acts, if you will. Acts 19. It's a great message, whether you have it or not. It's still a great message. It's straight out of the Word of God. It shows what can happen when you don't offer the right sacrifice. Acts 19. I'll read hurriedly. 19 and let's go to 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Paul stayed in the school of Tyrannus 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Can you imagine the disputing? Can you imagine the hardship that he had for 2 whole years there in this temple? But I want to, in this school, and old Tyrannus was, it's the only place that he's mentioned in the Bible. But it was a school there in Ephesus, amen. And Paul stayed right there and worked with these people, trying to get the people of Ephesus saved, amen. And one now and then would get saved, and the word would go out, and he heard the word all over the land. In the 11th verse, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from the body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Maybe this is Bible days, according here to Acts, and to Schofield Bible is about A.D. 56. So it's in the day that we're living today. Paul had power, amen, that the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, I want you to look at this. The vagabond Jews, and it's only three times, I believe, in the entire Bible, but the vagabond Jews, and the Bible said they were exorcists. They were ones that could cast out evil spirits. I don't quite understand that. I don't know what about you all. But I want us to read on. And he said, he took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure or we command you by Jesus whom Paul preached. There's the whole deal. They were casting out evil spirits. Amen. And it says their daddy was a chief of the priest, one silver. And he said, these seven sons went out, and they wanted this. They seen this great work happening. And I've watched it, neighbors, over the years since I've been saved. They get to wanting this work. They get to wanting to speak in tongues, or they want discerning of spirit, or they wanting to learn to preach, or they wanting to do this, that somebody else, that God has blessed them. Amen. And God ain't called them to do that thing. So it said here that these stepped out. Amen. And they demanded in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Not the God or the Jesus that they had, but the one that Paul preached. All they were wanting, they didn't want Jesus. All they wanted was recognition. This ought to scare us. Neighbors are standing behind the pulpits everywhere today wanting recognition. If they can stand up there and try to preach God's word and lay man with mankind, and they're doing it today. If they can stand up there and agree with abortion, if they can agree with several things that the Bible said is abomination in the eyes of God, stand up there and okay that. They're trying to bring it in the name of Jesus whom they don't know, but they're trying to bring it in Paul's Jesus, and that ain't doing them no good. Can I tell you, honey, you don't need what Bill needs. You don't need what Bill's got. You need what God's got for you. He said he daily loads us with benefits. The sacrifice you bring may not be the sacrifice that I bring. But bring your sacrifice. Bring a sacrifice that's acceptable unto God. And then if you mess up and don't bring the sacrifice that's acceptable unto God, amen, go back and repent. Go back and repent. And don't get mad at God and the whole church. I'm going to tell you, there's people that's left Mount Vernon Church that ain't right with God, and they're mad at the whole church over it. Cain got mad at his brother. And then he lost, his countenance fell, and he was aggravated at God. Listen to what I'm saying. This thing ain't changed. It's the same devil and it's the same God. And we're just people. We dress a little different. I don't wear long robes and girdles and bands around me. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered. And everybody that's ever preached has preached this. But the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? You know where our countenance falls? Just like Cain's. We've not offered the right sacrifice. Is anybody in here that ain't made an excuse why we don't do better? We make excuse for the flesh. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So can you imagine sorrow of this mom and daddy with seven sons? That just wanted the power that Paul had. They wanted recognition. This ain't the only place in the Bible. There's other places. They wanted their name to be called. Said, look at us. But they didn't have nothing to take to the evil spirit. They were going with Paul's Jesus, which wasn't theirs. Can I tell you, you better have Jesus. When you stand up, you better have your Jesus. I told them Wednesday night, the lady checked my heart, put that thing on me, and I said, do you hear Jesus in there? Do you hear Jesus in my heart? He's in there. Jesus is in my heart. She said, they asked me, do I have a heart? I said, have you found a heart? I know I've got a heart, but it's Jesus in there. He's making a racket. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. When the fear of God falls on people. Neighbor, when you see these seven sons, outstanding people of the chief of the priest. Amen. And they're running away naked. And the devil speaking back to them and said, I don't know you. You don't scare me one bit. Neighbor, we go to pray for the devil to leave our house, and he don't leave because he's not afraid of us. We're trying to go in the name of the Jesus of Mount Vernon. We better go on the name of the Jesus in us. The Jesus that saved our soul. The Jesus that cleaned us up. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them sold that which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. That Larry read there in Proverbs 21, that wandereth from his way, a vagabond, one that wanders from his way. And I'm just about done. But neighbor, can I tell you today, can we open our eyes, our godly spiritual eyes, and say that I need more than what Paul had. I need a Jesus of my own. Amen. If they'd have had denomination back in those days, I bet Cain was a Baptist. He didn't have denomination. I don't know where my brother is. Am I my brother's keeper? If I'm the pastor that God called me to be, you're my children. And I hurt when you hurt. The Bible never speaks no word, but it said that there'll be childbearing and sorrow. But I wonder how many times Eve went back through her life. Maybe if I'd have done something different, Cain wouldn't be where he's at. I've told this hundreds of times, and I'm going to tell you one more time.
Bless him, Lord.
But in 75, I hadn't been saved long when Dad passed. I come in at 2 o'clock from work, check on him. His liver had busted, hemorrhaged, and he'd run all the way across the old house floor over linoleum. And I set Dad up beside the refrigerator, and it gurgled. And I started trying to pray. Just me and Dad. I thought he breathed. People tell you the Spirit don't speak to you. God spoke to me. Bill, it's too late to pray. I'm going to tell you something. My countenance failed.
Come on, preacher.
It's too late to pray. You can wait till they die and go by and brag on them down to the funeral home. How pretty they look. But neighbor, if you ain't told them about Jesus, the blood might be on your hands. You don't have to be a preacher to tell them about Jesus. Under grace, everybody thinks they've got the answer. They're the one that knows how, and they're covered by grace to do whatever they want to do. But neighbor, I'm going to tell you, you're not your own. God never allows us to go out here. He don't make the way for us to go out here and cuss somebody out. The Lord don't make the way for us to go out and sit on the bar stool. Many things we do, God ain't the author of it. Because we got by, we justify ourselves and do it again. If sin lieth at the door, we're in trouble. One man full of the devil whipped seven that was playing church. Sent them out naked. I wonder, was their daddy a false priest or was he a real priest? He said he was chief of the priest. But how seven sons turned out this way? Think on it. Mickey mentioned it earlier. Many people just can't cope with life, just can't face life. Maybe there's no foreign country that I know of or that I've ever been in that'll come close to comparing to America. I've worked and stayed in several different places over North Carolina, and some of the places we stayed and had to go to church there, I've not found a church like in this community. The freedom to worship. But neighbor, can I tell you something? Our countenance is falling. It's going away. I can't have the answer for you. All I can do is tell you, you got to do something about it. It's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to kick against the conviction power of God. If we're not happy today, the altar's open, but you will get us.